Hi there, guys, and welcome to the first edition of the Nerdology Podcast. I'm your host, Matt. We're laughing because we've done this intro 1,000 times and we're trying to get it right for you. But we hope that this one will stick. Ash, why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Ashil, and I'm currently holding back my laughter, but thank you for joining us on our very first episode. And we do hope that you enjoy the content and that you enjoy listening to this show as much as we enjoyed putting it together.
We are noobs at this, so that's why there's a lot of laughter, there's nervousness, but there's also excitement. Start something new, start a journey with the both of us and you, our listeners.
I've read somewhere that said that if you aren't embarrassed by your first version of something, then you launch too late. And I think that we are a bit nervous about our first episode, but we hope that you do enjoy listening to it.
And on that note, let's get into it. Hi, Ash. How are you, man?
Hey, Mavs. I'm pretty good. I'm super keen to get into today's first episode. What about you? How are you feeling?
I'm excited and I'm a little bit nervous, to be honest with our listeners out there. This is our first podcast and our first step into this journey. I know that you and I have been working past couple of months into building this. And I know there's a small story behind the Nerdology Podcast, the name. Ash, do you want to tell us that little story?
Definitely. I hope that you guys are ready, you are comfortable, that you are settled in, that you have your popcorn ready, or that you are playing at the moment and you're listening to us fill your eardrums with all the good stuff about gaming. But yeah, let me get into it. And so, the Nerdology Podcast. We were thinking about a name, and honestly, I'm surprised that it didn't take too long for us to come up with this, because now, let me take a step back, and somebody that I do admire in business is Richard Branson. So he's Virgin Brand, and I'm sure everybody knows Virgin Active, Virgin Music, and he named it Virgin because he was new to the field, and that's like a no-brainer. So for us, we are looking for gaming terms that we could use so that we could have our audience relate with us and our name, whilst at the same time having people that don't know about gaming, we sort of increase their curiosity into, like, what is this? What does this mean? And there is a man who is much wiser than myself. Could be a woman. We aren't sexist on the show. Dark Sick on Urban Dictionary. Back in August 2005, he coined the term, or defined the term, noobology, which is the scientific study of the origin, history, and structure of noobs. And here we are, two noobs starting a podcast, speaking about gaming, hopefully bringing you value.
I remember when you said noobology to me when we were throwing around names. We both had that moment of like, oh, that's the one. I remember it so vividly. But yeah, we're really excited to bring you some insights and some valuable content. Without wasting any more time, let's get into our topic of today, which is next-gen gaming. Now, Ash, I know that you and I both watch the conferences, but I also know that you're a little bit biased when it comes to the console wars. What were your thoughts on the conferences?
Okay, so wait, let me just say that I am not a fanboy, per se, but I could be defined as one, depending on who you speak to. But I honestly stayed up, I prepared, I made time for the PlayStation launch. That's one thing that I did. Now, we are very connected right now in terms of, although we are physically separated due to lockdown and things like that, we are all on social media, and I have many, many different WhatsApp groups with my gaming friends, and every single one of those groups were waiting, were discussing, reacting to the trailers and the things that we've seen, and I am super, super excited for PlayStation and what they are doing. I did go and watch the Xbox launch, but I only did that after I saw the memes of there being no gameplay. So that was weird. But yeah, I think that the pre-rendered cutscenes did show something interesting, but it's not for me personally. So Mavs, what about you? I know that you are a massive Spider-Man fan. What did you do? How did you react when you saw Miles? Grown-up Miles, no, not the Miles from the movie. Grown-up Miles, PS5, new game.
I think my neighbors knocked on my door because I screamed. I saw the kind of suit coming off his skin. And I'm like, what is this? And then I saw Miles and I was just like, no, they didn't. And just to clarify, our fellow listeners, this is a standalone game. It's not a DLC. It's not an add-on. It's a standalone game from the Peter Parker story. And there's going to be a sequel to Spider-Man in the future. But to answer your question, Ash. I did watch both conferences. And I was very impressed with what Microsoft and Sony have been able to accomplish. I mean, we both are looking forward to consoles. Our listeners are too. And the fact that Xbox is coming to the table now with some new gameplay and some new first-party studios, I think that's exciting for me. And for PlayStation, just to watch it grow from the PS1 to the PS2, and then to be at the stage where we're looking now at the PS5, it is such an incredible journey. And the games that are bringing are sure to be something that I'm looking forward to. So yeah, I think that's more or less why I'm looking forward to both consoles. I love both of them equally, but I am leaning more towards the PS5.
So I think for me, when you did mention the older consoles and the older PlayStations, something that stands out for me is the experiences that we have and the experiences that we shared through gaming. And something that was console defining for me and genre defining was The Last of Us. Back on PlayStation 3. Now, I'm sure that many of you do know about The Last of Us, because if you haven't, are you really a gamer? But anyway, let me not call anybody out. Yeah. So, The Last of Us pushed forward what a game could do, how a game could tug on your emotions, how the story could be something that's better than you'd read in a book, better than you'd find on TV. And that's something that I think gaming is. And to now watch how gaming is going to evolve and how things are getting better, I can only imagine that the experiences that we have from it is going to be something completely different than anything we've known before. Mavs, I know that you also have a similar experience with gaming and what it means to you. Why don't you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think in many instances, gaming is kind of therapeutic. It's something that we all journey with these characters and we kind of attach to them emotionally. I remember when I bought The Last of Us, you and I were texting each other and I asked you like, hey, dude, what game should I play next? And you said, no, go buy The Last of Us. And I'm like, what is this game? So I was actually getting over a breakup at the time. So I bought the game and I went home and I played it the same night. And from the first cinematic till the last part of the game, I was so attached to Joel and Ellie's story that it helped me overcome a lot of insecurities I had about myself and the breakup. So a lot of games, current gen games and games we played in the past are very therapeutic. And the fact that we're getting to see better games with more graphics and more characters with more emotions, I think that's something that I'm really looking forward to. And we were talking about, was it Unreal Engine 5, right? Is at the forefront of gaming. Yeah, it's at the forefront of gaming because this is what's going to make our experiences as a user, as a player, a lot better. Do you agree?
I think so. But I think before we get into Unreal Engine, there's something that I want to point out. Like, as you had that experience with The Last of Us, I had one with God of War as well. But if you notice a similarity between The Last of Us and God of War, that those two are exclusives for the platform. So I think for next gen, it's going to be super cool to see the exclusives and to see what the companies are doing with the first party studios. And yeah, Unreal Engine is going to be something that's, it is for both platforms, I think, because I remember that the Xbox guys came out and said after Epic Games launched it on, well, with the PlayStation 5, that they said, hang on, it's also for us. So it's going to be super cool to see what the triangles mean for us in the future. I think that devs are okay. So on Reddit, I read a couple of comments by developers saying that this is going to take so much of time out of the production cycle because the assets are pre-rendered and they don't need to spend time and their assets in the production focusing on those things because it's done already. I think we're going to see a, I would like to say efficiency, but I honestly don't have much of an idea how the gaming world works in terms of the production crunch. I know that it does get hectic. But yeah, I'd like to think that with this addition of this engine, things are going to get easier and that it's going to get a lot prettier because you've seen the video. I know you have.
I have. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have as well. And I'm excited, man. Did you see how amazing those textures were? And just when she was flying through those rocks, I was just like, whoa, this is the future of gaming right here. So I'm excited to see what that is, you know, what that looks like in future games.
Yeah, because if you look at the level itself, I mean, it's massive.
Mm.
For you to be able to go from where you are on a mountain to the bottom, that's a couple of kilometers away in almost real time, that's something that we haven't seen before. And that's something that's going to be, I think, changing games and how they are played. If you look at Ratchet and Clank, the dimension splitting, that's something that, honestly, that blew me away.
Because, I mean, how impressed were you with that gameplay? Because a lot of users weren't, hey? I was impressed. I saw really? the dimension pulling and the new character in Ratchet and Clank. I was like, what? This is amazing. What did you think? A lot of users were like, no, I'm not excited for this game. But I am.
Okay. Honestly, I've played Ratchet & Clank and I loved it because it's on the PlayStation Pro. It's one of the few games that can handle 4K at almost native levels because it is checkerboard rendering, but it looks amazing. It looks like you're playing a pre-rendered movie.
Right.
And then to see that game expanded, and it's almost as if it's like a leap forward to switch between levels to look at the detail and the amount of things going on screen. Because I love Ratchet & Clank. And seeing that was amazing.
Talking about a leap forward, we touched upon The Last of Us 1 and my super short anecdote regarding the game. Have you had a chance to play The Last of Us 2 yet?
I have not, but honestly, I do have a friend who's probably listening to this podcast right now, and she was in my ear all the time about this game. And I was looking forward to it, and I played Uncharted, and then I said, okay, it doesn't feel right, because it doesn't feel like... I know that this might sound weird to people that are listening to this, but I spent a lot of time playing the first three games on PlayStation 3. So the way Uncharted 4 was done, it's like, these are the same characters, but something has changed. Like, it didn't feel like the same person. I think the best way to explain that is when you don't see someone for a really long time, but you connect with them, because you know who they are and you connect to them, that wasn't there in the fourth game. So I sort of fell out of interest with the games that Naughty Dog were doing at the time. So that was me personally. But then Last of Us 2 information came out, and then the leaks came out.
Oh, and man.
Yeah, I think there's a lot we can go into.
I love what you're saying about. Yeah, no, I love what you were saying about Uncharted, because I know that you and I have the same feeling towards Nathan Drake. I mean, we both grew up playing Uncharted 1, Nate and Scully, and then Uncharted 2, and then 3. And I felt like I was growing with Nate, and playing Uncharted 4 was just a massive experience for me. Just seeing how much he's grown, and introducing Sam, his brother, into the game, played by Troy Baker. That was amazing for me. And yeah, talking about Uncharted and Naughty Dog and The Last of Us 2, I was sad when the leaks came out. I'm sure a lot of developers were too, because there's so much of heart and passion and effort being put into a game. And for someone to just hack a server and release those footage, it's really disappointing. And it ruined the experience for a lot of players. But I haven't played the game yet. But there's a lot of controversy surrounding the game and a lot that we can dive into.
Yeah, so there was a lot of controversy going around with the game. And I think there's some cultural issues that came to light. But as an art form and as an art piece, the gameplay does look amazing. The story, I'm going to not say anything for now. I think we can get into that on a later episode because I think it does deserve a lot more attention. But yeah, so gameplay is great. Graphics is my word. That's incredible. I did not know that a PlayStation can do that, honestly, because it looks like we are hitting PC levels of, I would say shine, but shine doesn't really make sense, but polish and experience. And yeah, so that's The Last of Us 2. And
but just before we jump off, I know that a lot of users were complaining on Twitter about the kind of jet sounds that their PS4s were making when they put the game on. And the fact that you can actually play this game on current-gen consoles is amazing. But I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of less noise with consoles. It's going to be a lot easier to play these games in the future.
Yeah, the jet sounds are memeable.
Right, right.
But yeah, okay, hopefully next-gen doesn't have that issue. But something that does concern me about next-gen is reviewers and review scores.
My God, we could spend a whole hour talking about it.
I think it can be a can of worms to get into, but I think that our audience does deserve to know what's going on. And if you don't know, stay tuned. I hope that you're ready, because it does get a bit prickly, I would say. One of the things going on is that there are a few voices in the gaming industry that have come out and said that reviewers are no longer written for the gamers. They are written for the developers to ensure that the reviewer gets access to the next game that's released from the studio. Now, The Last of Us 2 has seen, I think, 50 perfect scores on Metacritic, which is, if you're going back and you're looking at the first game, I think that's well-deserved. But on the new one, is it? Is it so? Mavs, what do you think?
I don't know. I know a lot of people have been complaining about the story, and you can't really give 50 perfect scores if the story is not resonating with the customers. I mean, we talked about this before, but Ellie and Joel's story resonates with a lot of people. So to be giving it perfect scores and stuff like that, I'm not too sure. I don't want to get too into it, but yeah.
I think I feel bad now for putting you on the spot, because I do know that you are still going to play this game and you are looking forward to it. But you have been keeping away from the actual review. So let me take it back to me and say that, okay, so they are perfect scores, but the user reviews tell us a different story completely. Now, that discrepancy that... okay, we don't even need to go and look at the user reviews. Let's take it back to a very well-known publication. Let's go to IGN. Now, IGN America. Is it IGN America? I just know it as IGN. But IGN say that it's a brilliant, brilliant game. But on the other end of the pond, we have IGN Japan, who don't say the same thing. They say that it's a mediocre game that doesn't live up to its predecessor. Now, Mavs, I'm sorry that I have to break the news to you. I hope that you have tissue or something with you that can help you hold back the tears. But yeah, so we are seeing that there are massive amounts of discrepancy between the players and reviewers. Who do we believe? And for next-gen gaming, how are we then going to decide whether a game is worth us playing it? And who do we look to for reviews?
I agree with you 100%. Who do you look to for reviews if everything seems to be bought these days, especially with IGN? I know that a lot of people had a problem with Naughty Dog. I mean, the game is a great achievement for a lot of things, but playable and the story, I know a lot of people aren't happy with it. But things that really hurt people were the YouTube copyright strikes. I don't know if you heard about that, but Sony and Naughty Dog were kind of giving warnings or issuing warnings to YouTubers who were talking about the leaks and the game. And I thought that was really unfair. You have the right to speak out about something. You have a right to talk about something. You have a right to your opinion. And the fact that you can't talk about these leaks and the games, it's really sad that they went to that level cutting down these channels, because for a lot of YouTubers, that's their livelihood, right?
There is a case of deplatforming, and there's an argument to be made that if somebody is doing something wrong, yes, you should be able to stop them spreading whatever it is that they are doing at that moment in time. But at the same time, are you in the right by calling them out on whatever it is that they are doing? Because it's very hard. It's a very thin line between what's morally correct and protecting your business sense and something like that. So the YouTube copyright strikes are going to leave a sour taste in many, many content creators' minds and mouths for a really long time. We're just going to have to see how this plays out.
Yeah, I agree with you. I am looking forward to Naughty Dog's next game, if they're making one after this one. And I am looking forward to playing. Yeah.
I think that The Last of Us 3 has been confirmed. I think that, I'm not too sure, it could just be me, but I did by mistake The Last of Us Part 3 instead of 2. And there were a lot of rumors going around, so I'm not too sure. So I think something that we should check out.
If anything, this conversation is making me want to play the game a lot more. So I hope that the next time you and I speak to our audience that I've played the game and we could talk about it. Moving on into online gaming in South Africa. Ash, I know that you're a huge Apex Legends fan. I was a huge Modern Warfare fan online here in South Africa when I was playing it, but the Americans are very mean to me, so I decided to take a step back and reevaluate what I'm playing.
What did you experience? What happened? Tell us more about that.
Man, I know that you and I spoke, and you said that you learned a lot from the gamers on the other side when you were having these party chats. With me, with me playing Modern Warfare, Call of Duty, besides the massive file updates, which was annoying, I found that the gameplay experience wasn't really something that I wanted to indulge in, because if you don't have a squad and if you don't have friends that are active with Modern Warfare and have the game, it's quite hard to kind of play with other people, because they can be very aggressive and they can ruin your experience for you when you're playing. So for me, it just felt like I don't want to get into it too much because the experience was ruined, because they are.
Okay, I agree with you 100%. Because something that people might not know is that when it comes to FPS gaming in South Africa, the scene here is very competitive. It's very try-hard. I am one of the try-hards, so I will oust myself and say that. But at the same time, when you aren't playing with the squad and you aren't communicating with your team, then especially in Call of Duty, now this is not against the Call of Duty community. I do know that there are some good people out there. Well, at least I hope that there are. There is a bit of anger towards people that are just starting to learn the game. And that is warranted to a point, but when it becomes toxic in terms of how you start to speak to people over the mic, that's weird. That's something completely different. And I think, Mavs, you had first-hand experience with that.
Yeah, I think that's why it ruined the experience for me. I am sorry if I offended any of our Call of Duty listeners. I am a huge fan of Call of Duty. I do love the game. But when it comes to online gaming and Modern Warfare, I think that one experience kind of ruined it for me. And now I am actively playing indie games.
I think with online gaming, sorry to cut you off there.
No, please.
That is something that does happen, because I play Apex and I play ranked. So to those of you who are listening and do play ranked, you know what I mean? When you are solo queuing and you're going up against people from different countries with better ping than you have, and you get that one squad mate that wants to run at all the squads, who thinks that they can 1v3 an entire team just by themselves, that are 20, I wouldn't say kilometers because the map isn't that big, but they are essentially very far away from you. And then they get knocked and they start to ping and then they start screaming on the mic. Because I have been called a refugee. Even though I'm not a refugee, I'm in South Africa and I'm not changing any country at the moment. I guess that the guy thought that I was in the UK or somewhere in the European Union. And yeah, so I think that those experiences are part of online gaming, but at the same time, it's just part of it.
Speaking about Battle Royales and Call of Duty and Apex Legends, what did you think about Ubisoft's first installment of Battle Royale, Hyperspace?
Hyperspace, yes, yes. I'm not too sure yet because I did see gameplay, I did see trailers, I did read up on it, and it looks like a cross between Fortnite, Apex, and Overwatch. Because I know before that Apex was described as a cross between Overwatch and Fortnite. But I think this takes it to a next level. But unfortunately, there's one thing that I don't like about this game, and that is Africa and South Africa was snubbed by Ubisoft, and we aren't going to be included in the playtest for the game. Now, that was a bit annoying to me, but it's something that does happen. What are your thoughts on that?
When you sent me that text and you told me that that's what happened, I was kind of shocked. And I was also a bit frustrated. I mean, I know that we don't have a big community of gamers here in Africa, but the fact that the snub
is out. I think we do, though.
Yeah, it hasn't been established properly and people don't know of it, but we hope that this can kind of bridge that gap, this podcast and what we're doing here. I'm pretty frustrated that they snubbed us, because you were telling me, I don't know if I remember this correctly, but you were telling me that they did, was it Rainbow Six?
Yeah, it was. It was Rainbow Six Siege. We didn't get South African servers for it. I know that I do have friends that have been bugging me to get the game, which I haven't gotten as yet, but I think I will. So we do have servers for that, but we don't have for the new game that they are making, which is weird. But yeah, I think it comes back to a place where, are we respected enough as a gaming community in Africa, not just South Africa? Because I do have friends that are from Namibia, are from Mozambique, are from Madagascar and Mauritius, I think. So we are all around Africa, but we don't have our service. I think that we need our service. And hopefully we can create a community and we can have a dialogue with the developers and we can give them a unified voice. Can you hear the birds? I hope you can. Okay, yeah, we can give them a unified voice and a contact point to connect with the South African gamer and African gamer. And maybe we can lobby for servers in our country. I think that'll be amazing.
I think the thing that frustrates me, Ash, about online gaming is that we don't have Google Stadia here yet. Did you know that?
I am honestly not too hot sore by that, but I did not know this.
I think for the average gamer who can't afford a console, Google Stadia seems to be a cheaper option to play and to enjoy gaming. And the fact that we don't have that here because of servers and internet, it kind of bums me out, because Google Stadia is free for anyone with a Gmail account. So anybody can be a gamer.
Okay, I did not know this. That's pretty cool.
I think there is a little bit of a package. I think it is free, but you can get a Stadia Pro, and that comes with some free games or whatever, but you can play Google Stadia for free. And it just sucks that people aren't having that experience, people who can't afford, you know, consoles.
I think that here we are a bit held back by our internet. So next gen, hopefully we do see improvements across the board when it comes to that. But yeah, so here's a useful bit of information. Elon Musk is starting a new company called Starlink. And he wants to provide internet access to, well, the whole world globally. Low latency satellite internet. So I think in the future we might see a Stadia making a return. But for now, it's just one of those nice to haves, but not completely relevant for us. It is pretty cool that it is cheap to get into gaming and to
actually, I'm sorry, off. I need to correct myself. It's actually $10 a month, which is 170 Rand. My bad. The games are free. Okay. The games are free though, but the Stadia, you have to pay $10 a month. Apologies to our listeners.
So
I hope that Elon Musk gets Starlink started pretty quickly, so that a lot of people who can't afford next-gen gaming can play Google Stadia. I don't know if you saw this week, but there was a couple of articles on the pricing rumors for PlayStation 5 and Xbox. But
Okay, I honestly have heard about it, but not in explicit detail. So please, I'd love to hear more about this.
Okay, so the NBA game, right, 2K21, came out with its price this week. And I'm actually on a site now called Fanatical, where you can actually purchase the game. It's $89 in our money. That's 1,500. But that's with a 10% discount. So that means the original price of the game is $99. It's $99. That's 1,700 rand for the NBA 2K21 game. So we're going to see a significant spike in next-gen gaming and prices, which concerns me because if you have the disc-less version of PS5, you could buy it online. There could be discounts, there could be whatever it is, but for game retailers like BT Games here in South Africa and Musica and stuff like that, I'm worried that they might have to spike up their prices as well.
Okay, so I think there's an argument to be had for both sides. But as a gamer, I'm not so sure about the increase in price because it is a hell of a lot to be going up. And NBA, I know that NBA isn't popular, but taking that aside, if the rest of the game prices had to follow suit of NBA, I think that it might be overpriced and put us out of the market. It's going to be something that's going to be interesting to watch because there are rumors at the moment. They aren't confirmed. But from the production standpoint, it does make sense that I think the prices of prices of games have been fixed for 15 years now. Go back 15 years and we're still playing on the PS2. So it does make sense for there to be inflation. But on the other side, I mean, gaming is a multi-billion dollar industry. There is money to be made and studios are making money through DLCs and microtransactions. So should prices go up? I mean, we're getting games that aren't really finished when they are shipped to us because we are getting so many games with day one patches. So I'm not too sure if we should. I think we shouldn't because imagine paying 1.7 for or 1.5 with a discount for a game. And I think that would definitely decrease the amount that we are playing. But at the same time, there is some good news. I know that if you buy a game on PS4, you do get to play it on PS5. And I think Cyberpunk is one of those.
I did not know that, Ash. I did not know that if you purchase Cyberpunk on PS4, you could play it on PS5. I had no idea.
I think that's pretty cool because, honestly, have you seen the trailers recently?
Oh my God. CD Projekt Red did such an amazing job with The Witcher, which we both have played, that I'm like looking at the gameplay and looking at what they've achieved so far. They actually have a podcast on this. Developers are talking about the game. It's called Nightwire City. Go check it out just to find out a little bit more about the game. But it's so important for us to be following Cyberpunk for next gen games because that's like the benchmark. They're setting the bar so high with Cyberpunk right now. I mean, this from the gameplay to the story. I know that there's customizable players and it's just so much. It's a whole new world being developed by CD Projekt Red, and I'm so excited to see what the final game looks like.
Yeah, I agree completely because I think I have been following this a lot and from everyone who's seen the game, one thing that they did feel was overwhelmed. The level of detail in the city itself is almost like a living, breathing world. And to see that happening right now on this gen and in next gen is going to be something that we need to follow. And I think there's also a Netflix series that's coming out in 2022.
Yes.
So it's anime, yeah.
I'm so excited for that. Sorry, I had to jump in. I had to say yes like that.
I think we are as excited. I mean, Cyberpunk anime, get out of here.
One thing I will say though, just to add to Cyberpunk, is that I was pretty disappointed when I heard that it's going to be a first person game and not a third person game.
Really?
Yeah, I was, man. It's just, they developed a character, you know, and you're playing it through the city, but I get why they did it. I know that they want for us as a player to see the city through the kind of character's eyes, which I admire and I know what they're doing and kind of that, but I would have loved that. I would have loved a third person Cyberpunk game. They also, news came out this week that they kind of took out the running wall mechanic, so you can no longer run on walls, which kind of sucks. But still looking forward to the game.
Okay, so devs, if you are listening, by a very slim chance, but if you are listening to this, please bring back third-person mode.
Ash, I think we pretty much wrapped up all we needed to talk about today.
Okay, did we? I mean, it's over too soon, I think. But yeah, we can definitely add a lot more. There's lots more conversations to be had. Listeners, I hope that you did enjoy the topics and the things that we've spoken about today. Mabs?
Yeah, I think we are going to have a lot more conversations and bringing a lot more special guests to the show. So please like and stay tuned to our podcast. This podcast will be available on Apple iTunes. So please leave us a review. And we are looking for you to be featured on our show. So if you go to Facebook and you search the Nobology Podcast, we will come up. Please drop us a comment and we can feature you on our show with a game review. What do you think about that, Ash?
I think that's going to be amazing. We'd love to have more people involved with our show. We'd love to have you featured as a guest. And yeah, we'd love to hear your opinions on topics that we raise. And it's definitely going to be enjoyable. Yeah, so looking forward to that.
Definitely. This is definitely a gaming community that we're building here. So please get involved. Please interact with us. Ash, thank you so much. This has been amazing. I can't wait to continue our journey talking about gaming and reviews and bringing valuable insights to people. You're an absolute legend and I can't wait to do more of these things.
I think you're giving me too much of credit because I think that you are a bit more legendary than I am. And thank you for thank you for putting this together for, I think, the opportunity, because people may not know this, because I think nobody does, but Mavs approached me and said, hey, we both love gaming. Why not start something? Why not get involved? Why not just share our opinion, to share, I would say experience, but it's more our passion for right. gaming with other people. And I think that it's definitely something that needs to be there. So yeah, thank you for including me in this podcast and thank you for putting this together.
Thank you for saying yes. If you hadn't answered that call, I would just be by myself here. I need you, man. I need you for these things. Okay, I think that's it for our show. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you, Ash. You've been an absolute legend. Till next time, guys.
It's been a pleasure.